We're doing the book of Yoshua. Yoshua had gone to war to conquer the land of Israel. And then suddenly, the Navi says, Yoshua got old. And Hashem told him, there's so much left to conquer, which you haven't conquered. And then we have chapter after chapter describing what was not yet conquered, what was not yet divided. So Hashem tells Yoshua, divide up the land. Divide up what each territory, who's going to get what. And at this juncture, Kalev shows up to Yoshua, and he says, you know what Moshe promised me? That I was 40 years old when Moshe sent me. And I was one of the spies, and Hashem said I should have the territory. And I have as much strength today. Today I am 85 years old. 45 years have passed. I have as much strength, I can still go to war. Let me have the mountain area of Hebron. I'll take down the giants that are living there. Yoshua blesses him, and Kalev goes and conquers Hebron, what was earlier known as Kiryat Arba. Now, this is very insightful. Kalev says he was 40 years old when Moshe sent him to spy out the land. Okay? So, how old was Moshe then? 80. How old was Pharaoh's daughter when she took Moshe out of the Nile?
Older.
She was, right? We assume she was 15, right? So when the Jews left Egypt, she must have been 95. If Moshe's 80 years old, she's 95. How old was Miriam, Moshe's older sister? Older than Moshe, so she was probably 85. So you have two old ladies. Miriam, who's 85, and Batya, who's 95. And Chazal say Kalev was married to both, and he's 40. So he had two wives. One was 45 years older than him, and one was 55 years older than him. Kalev, based on Divrei Hayamim, Kalev was married to both of them. To Batya, the daughter of Pharaoh, and to Miriam, Moshe's sister. And it says Kalev was a dedicated husband. He took care of her. Miriam was an ill person. She needed a lot of care, and Kalev took care of her. And after she got her tzaras and she became cured of all her illnesses. It says no one wanted to marry her, because they knew marrying her would mean taking care of her for life. And Kalev said she's a pious woman, and if she has two pious brothers like Moshe and Aaron, so I'll probably have good kids. I'll have pious kids. So Kalev married her. It says he married her for the sake of heaven. That's why it's as though he fathered her, because it says he took care of her. He gave her all her medical treatment. And they had no kids. And it says she was green, which is another way of saying she had no red color. She was green as yarok, comes from the word rek. Devoid of red is yarok. Yarok doesn't have to mean green. Yarok is another way of saying rek, devoid of redness. She was very pale, yeah. Until she got tzaras. When she was cured of tzaras, she became fully healthy and had kids. And she became so beautiful that people all around the camp would get very excited anytime she'd walk by. Says they'd run home and give their wives a gift. And their wives would say, what's this all about? Miriam?
Yeah.
According to that medrash, very good. Then she had Hur was her grandson. Hur was yeah. So then she did have kids according to that.
But that was before him.
Correct. Saying it's two opinions, two conflicting opinions in the Medrash. You're right. So we move forward. So Kalev conquers Hebron. And Yoshua spends 7 years conquering whatever he conquers in the land. And another 7 years dividing the land. And most of the book of Yoshua is the description of which kings we fought and where the borders are, what the boundaries of each tribe is. We're not going to spend the time going into the boundaries of each tribe. We come to the end of the book of Yoshua. The tribe of Yosef comes to Yoshua and they say, we're a big people, we need more land than you gave us. And Yoshua says, if you're so big, so then why don't you go into the forests and conquer that area from the Prizi and the Rephaim? You have no problem, conquer Har Ephraim. And they say, we can't do that because they have all these chariots, they have so many weapons, we can't do it. Yoshua says, I don't buy it. He says, you guys have such an army, such a nation, you could take that, you figure out and conquer it. Yes?
Where did the Jews learn warfare? It's like they just spent 40 years in the desert with...
Why couldn't they learn warfare there?
Where did they learn artistry?
Was Moshe teaching?
I don't know who they brought to teach them, but seems like they knew it very well.
Where did they learn artistry?
Being that, I mean, you needed intelligence, but a lot of the other places, when you had the day stop, you had rocks falling from the sky, you had the whole wall of the Urethra falling down.
Seems like they know how to fight wars.
But they had superpowers.
After they've given each tribe their territory, they set up the cities of refuge. Three were set up by Moshe on the eastern side of the Jordan. Yoshua sets up the three in the land of Israel. Where if a person kills someone unintentionally, they could run to the city of refuge. And the Levites say, we were supposed to be given other cities as well. And then they give the Levites their cities also. And the portions outside the Levite cities were also given to them. We have over here a recounting of all the cities that were given to the Levites, right? And at the very end, Yoshua summons all the people together, and he says, you've kept the Torah. Now you have to be careful. First of all, you have the 2.5 tribes, Reuven, Gad, and half the tribe Manasseh. They kept their word. They're going back to their part of the Jordan, the other side of the Jordan. They should be careful to keep the Torah. Yeshua blesses them. When they go to the eastern side of the Jordan, they erect this big altar there. And the Jewish people think they're starting their own temple for idol worship. So they send people out to them. They're ready to go to war against them. What's wrong with you? What are you doing? So they said, we're not going to do anything with this altar. This altar is here so that when our children will come back into the land of Israel, and your children will tell them that they're not a part of Am Yisrael, so our children will be able to say, not true. We're not bringing any sacrifices on this altar, but this altar is a sign that we are a part of the people of Israel. And our children should always know that we don't bring sacrifices on this altar. This is an altar dedicated to that knowledge. We're a part of the people of Israel. And Yoshua and the elders approve of it. And then Yoshua has to pass away. He gives his final speech to Am Yisrael, saying they should stick to Hashem, because otherwise they won't succeed in the land of Israel. He passes away, and he is buried in Timnat Cheres. They put a big sun on his tombstone, the sign of the sun, because he made the sun stop. So Yeshua has given them the final speech, telling them how our original, and this is the first source in Tanakh that says it, that Avram's father was a pagan. He says, remember your beginnings. Your forefather, Terach, worshipped idols, and I took you into the land of Israel. Balak tried to curse you. Things were going to go wrong. I made sure you would succeed and come in here. So Yoshua says to them in his final speech, he says, if you guys don't want to go on Hashem's ways, tell me. Oh, my kids, my family will go on Hashem's ways, and you guys could take the idols. And the nation says, no. Hashem is the one who's brought us this far. We want to stick to Hashem. Yoshua says, no. Hashem is so hard to worship. You won't be able to live up to it. And the nation says, no, we want to worship Hashem. Yoshua says, fine, then you are the witnesses. Get rid of all the idols that we might still have left behind. And so they remove whatever idols they were. Yoshua writes a pact with them. They make this large stone that's set up as a commemoration of the event. And Yoshua passes away at the young age of 110 years old. Chazal say he should have lived longer. The only reason he died so young was because he dragged out the process of conquering the land of Israel, figuring this would lengthen his life, it would be good for the Jewish people. Hashem gave him a mitzvah. and for the rest of Jewish history, to a large degree, we paid the price that Yoshua dragged out the conquering of the land because he doesn't finish the job. And we end up having pockets of enemies in our midst. It's interesting that the book ends with the burial of Yosef, who was buried not far. He was also buried in Shechem. Our sages say from Shechem he was sold from the land of Israel. That's why they brought him back there. We start the book of Shoftim. The book of Shoftim is written by Shmuel the prophet. Shoftim are judges. A Shofet is not a king. Yeshua passes away and there's no leadership. And this was the greatness of the Jewish people. What other people could last without any central leadership? So Yeshua passes away and the Jews realize they have to finish conquering the land. So they ask the Kohen Gadol, they ask Hashem, who should lead the way to war? It's critical that their first war be a success. Because if the nations hear that they lost, who knows, they might all pounce on them. So Hashem says, let Yehuda lead the way. And Yehuda, which is the hallmark of the leader, shows his kindness to the weakest tribe. He says to the tribe of Shimon, you help me, and I'll help you. You help me conquer my territory, and I'll help you.
They didn't ask the tribe of Reuben?
So, Yehuda fights the first battle in the city of Bezek, and they defeat 10,000 men, and they conquer the king of Bezek called Adoni Bezek. And Adoni Bezek runs, they capture him, and he tells them they cut off the thumbs of his hands and feet. This was a way of ensuring that a person could never fight a battle again. Because in order to wield a sword, you have to have the dexterity provided by the thumb. Otherwise, you're holding it in a very crass manner without the thumb. Yeah, without the thumb, you can't be so effective with the sword. So Adoni Bezek says that under his table he had 70 sets of thumbs of kings that he had conquered. So this was one of the small kings of Israel that they conquered. They killed 10,000 soldiers and they conquered him. They cut off the thumbs of his hands and feet. And because he was honest enough to say, Hashem paid me back the way I behaved, so they left him alive and he died a natural death. And we will pick up here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week, where we made it to the book of Shoftim.